Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Family life. That's what we're talking about this Advent season. When you think about family life, it's much different than when you're actually living family life. When we think about family life, you might be conjuring images of Norman Rockwell. Remember Norman Rockwell? The idyllic America. Maybe you're thinking of the father carving the turkey at the end of the table, and the mother with an ironed apron has everything just, you laughed at that, Ruth, the ironed apron, everything is just right in order, and the kids are sitting dutifully waiting for food. When you think about living family life, totally different. Father sitting on the couch, snoring away while the dishes are piled up on the table. The mother, the wife, is frazzled from all the work and getting everything ready for Christmas. The children, they're at each other's throats again. They're fighting. And what we've learned through this Advent season, as Brad mentioned with the children's message, when we really look at our lives, there is a lot of conflict that comes our way in families. And then there are things that just come right in out of nowhere. A medical diagnosis. Level of conflict goes up. Money problems. Poor choices in life. These things hit our families. Well, this morning we're taking a look at the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary. Now, my goodness, now me bringing up Joseph and Mary, they've got to be a couple that are of the Norman Rockwell idyllic America. Perfect and pristine. If you look around town, the nativity scenes, they look so nice as a couple. Nothing could go wrong with Joseph and Mary. Well, if that's your picture of Joseph and Mary, your pastor tells you today, you're wrong. Dead wrong. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to go through this expository style preaching here today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Conflict. Please put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Here is this wife that he has planned the paint color of what their house is going to look like. Here is a man who's thought about where they're going to go on vacations as a family. And then out of nowhere, he has two shocks. Number one, this wonderful woman that he's going to dedicate his life to, she's pregnant. Number two, she's pregnant through the Holy Spirit. That's crazy. Joseph's first response, and it's our response to conflict. If you're taking the notes, I want you to write this down. His first response is to close the door. Close the door to Mary. And you hear it here. This is the second verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Do you hear Joseph closing the door to Mary? Let me read it again. Her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. What a nice guy. He had those images of what their life was going to be like, and then it was crushed in just an instant to hear that his wife was pregnant. Engagement in the first century was much different than today's modern engagement in the 21st century, especially amongst Jewish culture. Engagement was a binding contract that you could not get out of. And you'll notice in the text the words that are used. Although they're engaged, the text uses these words. Joseph is a husband, and the word there is used, divorce. This is a binding relationship. And so Joseph comes to the conclusion that what he's going to do is quiet behind the scenes, but he's going to close the door to Mary and put her on the other side. Do we close the door in the relationships that we're in our families? We sometimes do. A second option with the door here, and the second option that Joseph could do here in this conflict with Mary, doesn't get any more conflicted than this. The second thing is to slam the door. Slam the door. Do you ever slam the door at your house? I hope not. Joseph had recourse to slam the door on Mary. Old Testament law. Deuteronomy chapter 22 says this, if a betrothed bride becomes pregnant in an adulterous relationship, The prescription was stoning. She was to be stoned to death. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 21. Now, thankfully, Joseph doesn't slam the door. The Bible tells us, you get the description here of him, he just wants to, on the side, make it very quiet behind the scenes so that she's not disgraced. And Joseph is described as a very righteous man. But let's think about that second option. Don't we sometimes slam the door on our family members? Third option that Joseph can use is to lock the door. Lock the door. And we don't know this for sure, but I actually think Joseph has this in mind, to put Mary on the other side of the door and lock it and throw away the key forever. What a volatile situation. Tensions were high. Things were rising. There was the temptation of Joseph to just lock the door and be completely done with Mary forever. As I look out on conflict as a pastor, I actually think most families handle conflict with the three ways that I just described, and we're all guilty. I am too. We oftentimes do shut the door on our loved ones, and we lock the door, and sometimes we even slam the door out of anger and aggression in the difficult circumstances that we find ourselves. And I think we do that for one reason. I think we think that on the other side of that door is a hungry, angry monster that might eat us alive and tear us to pieces. So we'd rather stay on our side of the door and be safe and not have the possibility of more anger and pain come into our lives. The door remains shut. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, I don't know, how many C.S. Lewis fans do we have? Chronicles of Narnia. Any fans? I know we got a few of them. All right, the Lestos. If you've read the book, The Last Battle, it's the last book in the series of Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis describes a situation where there's a final, ultimate battle, a mother of all battles, so to speak, with all the characters. And the characters are walking along in the book, and they come across a door. And they start talking about this door, and most of the characters in the story say things like this: behind the door, there's a life-breathing, life-threatening monster that's going to eat us. Don't go through that door. And so the characters hold back from going through the door. But one of the characters in C.S. Lewis's book gets enough courage and gumption, and he opens the door and goes through. I don't know if you know this, the quote is there in your sermon notes. On the other side is green grass, a crystal clear blue sky, and a breeze like you'd get in the summer evening. There's no monster on the other side. And the further they go through that door, they discover greater and greater things. It's as if they found a heavenly paradise, C.S. Lewis writes. What am I suggesting here this morning? Well, you know what? You know how our relationships work? So often we think about these shut doors in our lives and that what is on the other side is a life-threatening monster that's going to eat us. They were so terrible to us. But the truth is this. On the other side of that door is grace and forgiveness and connection with those that God has placed into our lives. And the further we go with those relationships beyond on the other side, as C.S. Lewis writes, the greater and greater life becomes. Friends, I'm thankful this morning, and we all should be, because which option does Joseph choose? Which one does he choose here in Matthew chapter 1? It's none of the three I've talked to you about. The choice that Joseph makes is this. He opens the door to Mary. Amazing. His wife is pregnant, and it's not his. He opens the door. The beautiful thing about Joseph in the story is that he leaves a little bit of room. He sets aside his reasoning and the way he thinks things should be. He sets a little bit of room for God to speak into his life, to intervene into his circumstances. And here it is, the third verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. God speaks to Joseph and says this. But as Joseph considered these things, in other words, divorcing his wife, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, God's saying through Joseph, walk through the door, journey with your wife Mary, and you will find an amazing plan by God to bring salvation into the whole world. And Joseph did walk through that door. And he did an amazing thing. He walked through the door and saw the plan that God had for the salvation of all people. But honestly, he couldn't do it by his own strength. Throughout his life, interesting detail about Joseph is that he stops often in Matthew chapter 1. And an angel speaks to him four times in dreams. Joseph goes to the side of his own thoughts and listens to what God would have him do. Here's a little pastor wisdom and advice for you this week. Open the doors in your relationships and in your families. You've been given a key to open the door. I promise you, you have. Here in this church, we have lots of keys and we have lots of doors throughout the building. And we have keys that are in the office. Some of you have keys, I think, in your keychain. We have keys out. Right as you come before in the front of the church in a box. You can get in there and get a key. But not every key opens every door in the church, friends. See, there's a master key that opens every door in the church. Guess what? I have the master key. I have it. Anyone else have a master key? Darn it, Wally has one. Ugh. Ah. See, when you have a master key, you feel really special about yourself because you can open everything. See, the Bible says you have that key in your relationship. All your relationships. Key is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to open that door and go through. All of a sudden, hearts are open, eyes are open, and we have connections with those that we love. Do not try to reconcile your relationships by your own effort. It will not work. Call upon the Holy Spirit, your key, to open it up and let God go to work. Why is Joseph here at all in this story? It's really funny because he doesn't really need to be here. Technically, he's not the father of Jesus. Actually, God could put someone else here in the role of the father pretty simply and guide Mary and Jesus to where they need to go. Joseph doesn't have amazing skill. He's a carpenter from... archaeology says that he's probably worked in a town that was just a little bit away from the town that is described here in the Bible. He's a simple carpenter. In fact, in the Bible, he fades away. We don't even know what happens to him. He's there, I think, for a reason. We all can relate to Joseph. We try to do the best we can in life. We all have conflict, as Joseph did, and shut doors. Let's also remember how we're like Joseph in this. We have the key. God speaks to us, sometimes in dreams, always through His Holy Spirit, every day. Every day He speaks to us. And what He speaks to us is this: reconcile, forgive, be restored in your families. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the gift that you are. And we thank you that although sometimes we think there are closed doors with the people that are placed around us, show us that that's not true. Remind us of your Holy Spirit, that key that can unlock those doors, and we can enter paradise and heaven with those that you've placed around us. In Jesus' name, amen.